writer of Hebrews has just shared in Hebrews chapter number 11, all of the heroes of the faith. And we thank God for every one of those characters we find in Hebrews 11 and the faith that they've shown. But then you get to chapter number 12, and he again encourages us to run our race just as they ran theirs. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for the word of God. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you just bless our time now around your word. Lord, bring the scriptures real, make them real to us today like never before. God, I pray you put a hedge about this place, remove any disturbance that the devil would love to send our way. God, I pray if there's anyone here today that does not know they're going to heaven, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, I prayed this morning, God, you would save a soul today. Lord, we prayed last night, God, you would save a soul today. God, if there's anyone lost, please let him be saved today. Lord, may the Holy Spirit have his will and his way in this service. Lord, encourage every one of us as believers now to run our race, Lord, the race that you've set before us. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And be seated. So we get to chapter number 12. And again, if you want to argue this, I won't argue with you, all right? But I don't believe that in verse number 1, I don't believe it's talking about that all these people in heaven are watching us because there is no sin. And you look down on this earth and you're going to see a lot of sin. And so I don't believe that's the case in verse number 1. But what I do believe is being talked about is knowing that they ran their race, we too need to run our race. And you say, well, I can't be a Moses. Well, you've got the same God as Moses. And you have the same Spirit of God that will enable you to do whatever God's called you to do. And so all of us have our race that we are to run. And we thank God for every example found in Hebrews chapter number 11. And we're exhorted here in verse number 1. I think he's talking, hey, we've had these examples. Look at these men that ran before us, this great cloud of witnesses. You have the example, then you have an exhortation. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Anything that's hindering you from running your race for God, we need to get rid of it today. Whether it be a sin or just a hindrance, a weight in our life. And then our exercise, it says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, we have as motivation, we have great motivation to run this race. But that motivation is not these people in Hebrews chapter number 11. They're just examples. We do not do what we do for Abel or for Abraham or for Noah. We don't do what we do because those people were sinners saved by the grace of God just like we are. Now, we praise the Lord for their faith, but that's not our motivation. Our motivation is found in verse number 2. It does not say looking to Abel or looking to Abraham or looking to Noah. That is not our motivation to live the Christian life. Our motivation, verse number 2, looking unto Jesus. He is the motivation for us. You say, why are you preaching this today? Because it's Christmas time. I love Christmas time. I hope this morning we will see a reminder of who everything is about. Who we owe everything to. I love family traditions. This year we put all of our decorations up. Then we did what we always do. We watched Garfield Christmas. One of the most underrated cartoons ever in the history of the world, right? If you've ever seen it, you light the tree, you go, ooh, right? You need to watch it, right? But anyways, right? But we enjoy family traditions. We have lots of those. We go on Christmas Eve over to the Napier's house. We go on Christmas Day, we spend it at our house. On the day after Christmas, we go over to my parents' house. 3 days of Christmas festivities. What a week this is going to be. Amen? It's going to be a wonderful week. Looking forward to it. But at every place, and I'm thankful for this, we stop and we pause and we remember who Christmas is all about. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. I love giving presents, probably to a fault. I enjoy, getting something here and there. I told my wife what she got me already. It was nice. I picked it out, bought it, wrapped it, and told her. But it's really nice. Appreciate it, dear. It's a great gift. I got a great surprise this year. Clint and Melissa, they bought me something I've wanted all my life. They brought it to me. They bought me a Dodge Ram pickup just like Walker, Texas Rangers. I've told you about it. They did. It's this big. But it is his truck. It even says Walker on it. That's the greatest thing ever, right? Finally got one. I've wanted one since I don't know how long, right? Thank you. That was awesome, right? Christmas is settled now. All right, I'm good. I enjoy watching the kids. I enjoy all of that. But the fact is, as much as we may pause and may take today to do so, we do not spend enough time praising our Lord for what he's done for us. And I want us to consider the Lord today, because that's what Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2 tells us to do. It tells us in verse 2 and in verse number 3 to do two things with the Lord. It's the last thing I'll say today too. We are to look to Jesus. Verse 3, we are to consider him. May we look at him this Christmas, and may we consider him this Christmas. We've taken the entire month of December, and every Sunday morning we've preached on the cross. Because while we're thankful for the cradle, we're thankful that he came. The reason that he came was to go to that cross. And we're thankful for the cross of Calvary. And I want you to see three things here in verse 2 and 3, real quick today, as we look and consider the Lord Jesus this Christmas. Number one, I want you to see his esteeming. His esteeming. We esteem him this morning. We lift him up. Verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The author and the finisher of our faith. Christmas, and understand this, Jesus was not born on December 25th, all right? If that busted your bubble, I'm sorry, you'll be okay. All right, that's not the case. But there's nothing wrong with rejoicing that Jesus came. Because he came for one purpose, to die for our sins. And understand this today, that if it weren't for Jesus, we would have nothing. He is the founder of our faith. I know they say it all the time, especially this time, we probably have signs, and I do too. He's the reason for the season. And that is the truth. But let me just add a little bit more to that. He's the reason for everything. Not just the season. Everything. Everything is because of him. Everything is for him. Revelation says this, that all things were created for his pleasure. He's not just the reason for the season, he's the reason for everything. Everything out there, this world, every one of us, he is that reason today. He is the founder of our faith. He is the precedent of our faith. He is the leader of our faith. Jesus is everything. He is the one who gave us salvation. You understand this morning, we would have no hope of an eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ. If it were not for the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth, which is what Christmas is about, the fact that he came and that he lived his life and that he died on the cross of Calvary, if it were not for that, we would have no hope at all. So what would happen to us? We all would die and go to hell. You say, that's pretty harsh. That's just what the Bible says. And I was heading there just like everybody else. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, preacher, I've heard this before. I know it, and maybe there's someone that hasn't, but regardless, we all need to hear it again. To remind us just who we are and where we'd be without the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand this, the wages of our sin is death. And that death is not just, being laid down in the grave someday. The death that's talked about is in Revelation that speaks of a second death. What we all deserve is the second death described in Revelation as being when death and hell will one day be cast into the lake of fire. That's what we deserve. You say, I'm a good person. Mine too. And you know what? If we compared ourselves, I might be better than you. I might. Maybe not. But I might. I might be a better person than you. I mean, if we listed sins, I have no idea. All I know is this, I sure don't want my sins listed anywhere. And neither do you, right? The fact is, our salvation is not based upon who we are. I guarantee I might be better than you, and I guarantee there's people in here better than me. But thank God, it's not based on who we are. Our salvation's not based on when we get to heaven, we're not going to get around and compare ourselves and say, hey, I can't believe you made it. How many good things did you do? Well, how many good things did you do? That's not what it's going to be when we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, there's only one song we'll be singing. It's glory to the Lamb that was slain. Praise the Lord who died for our sins. You understand this. He is the founder of our faith. If it were not for Him and Him coming to this earth, and the reason why He could die for our sins and no one else is because of this. He is the Son of God. Because you understand this, when Jesus came, He was not, you know, the result of a child born in the same way any other child has been born on this earth. When Jesus Christ was born, He was born of a virgin. Well, you say, why is that so important? It was a miracle that Mary was with child. The Holy Spirit of God touched her, and the Holy Spirit of God placed that child within her. And when Jesus Christ was born, the Bible specifically says, and if your Bible doesn't say this, you have a wrong Bible, but the Bible specifically says that Joseph went not in unto her until the child was delivered. When Jesus was born, He was born of a virgin mother. So how is that possible? Because He is the Son of God. When He lived His life, He lived His life different than anyone else. You understand this. My parents are here. They'll testify to this. They never had to teach me to do wrong. I did it all naturally by myself. I learned how to lie. I learned how to cheat. I could tell you today about all the wicked things I've done, but I don't want to do that, all right? But I'm just like you. No one had to teach us how to steal. We just did it. No one had to teach us how to look at things we shouldn't look at. We just did it. We all have a sinful nature. And because of our sin, we all deserve to die, and we all deserve to face that second death, which is the lake of fire. Understand that today, we all deserve that. But that's why Jesus came, and that's why He's the one that died for us. Because I could not die for Brother Haddock's sin, and Brother Haddock could not die for my sins. Because we have something in common today. We both are sinners. And if I said, well, I'm going to die for Brother Haddock's, well, you can't, because you're just as much of a need of a Savior as he is. And everyone on this planet is in just as much of a need of a Savior as I am, and you are. Even, by the way, sorry to bust the Catholics' bubble too, but even Mary said that Jesus is my Savior. She had to be saved too. You understand that she too had to confess her faith in her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone that's going to heaven has had to come to a point where they say, God, I am a sinner, but Jesus died for my sins. And I believe that Jesus died for me. Forgive my sins, save my soul, and all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm thankful for the day that I called on the name of the Lord. Aren't you thankful for the day that you called upon the name of the Lord? And the day that you called on the name of the Lord, praise God, He saved you. He said this, all they that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus has never said no to anyone who looked to Him for salvation. If you'll call upon the Lord today, He will save you. My faith, my hope, my confidence, my joy, my everything started with Jesus Christ. I thank God for my parents. They're both here today. I thank God for how they raised me. I thank God for everything. But listen, if it was just for them, I'd still be on my way to hell. I can't go to heaven because of them. I can't go to heaven because of what they kept me from or led me to. I cannot go to heaven except for the fact that I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm asking you today, my faith began, the beginning, the author of my faith was when I trusted in Jesus Christ. I've heard a lot of people's Christian their salvation testimony, and I hear people all the time share things like, well, I was one time in a car wreck and I thought I was going to die and I didn't die and God saved me and I'm going to heaven. That's not salvation. That's not Or one day I was depressed and a little bird came and sat on the windowsill and sang to me and I know God loved me. That's not salvation. Let me tell you something. Salvation is no other than trusting in the name of Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have you had a time in your life when you say, God, I'm a sinner, but I trust in what Jesus did for me on the cross? If you have a different author of your faith than that, you have no faith. If your salvation started with something other than Jesus, because He is the author of our faith, I want you to stop and consider that this morning. There's a lot of people out there saying, well, one day I got baptized. Baptism doesn't save you. Well, one day I had a perfect day and there's a rainbow in the sky. That's not salvation. The author of salvation is Jesus Christ. He is the one who gave us, but He's not just the author. He's not just the founder of our faith, but praise God, He is the finisher of our faith. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Aren't you thankful for that today? See, what does that mean, the finisher of our faith? He is the reason for everything that we have today. And He is the goal of where we're heading someday. You know what? We get to heaven. You know, I'm thankful to just as much as you are that there's mansions in heaven. Aren't you thankful there's mansions in heaven? Isn't that a wonderful thing? Me and Brother Found, me and him are thankful. Aren't you thankful there's mansions in heaven? I'm not setting you up for anything. You're like, what are you going to make us say, right? I've been there too, right? Oh, I'm not trying to trick you at all. Aren't you thankful there's a mansion in heaven waiting for you? Amen. Aren't you thankful today there's no more sickness, no more darkness, there's no locks on any doors, there's no hospitals, there's no medicine, there's no cancer, there's no heartache, no separation, no loss. All that is waiting for us someday. Praise the Lord for that. But that is not what makes heaven heaven. It is the fact that we will spend an eternity with the one who loved us and gave himself for us. When we get to heaven, we're not going to go showing off mansions. We'll be falling at his feet. We'll not be praising each other for what we've done. We'll be praising the finisher of our faith. When we get to heaven, it will not matter what so-and-so thinks of us. We will only care what the Lord says about us. All that will matter, because he is the finisher of our faith. He is the end. And you say, well, what do you mean in? That's the reason we're doing everything we do, is someday to see his face. And you say, end? The end is eternity. It never ends. We spend a forever with him. Do you understand this today? That we were created for his pleasure. I love this. That's what Revelation says. You were created for his pleasure. Now, his pleasure is not making you do things. Because if that was his pleasure, he'd already be doing that. We're not one of my kids this morning on our bus got on with his puppet. This one was one that had his hand on a stick, and he brought it in and goes, I want to help teach a lesson today. And he came in. Tater did that. Y'all met Tater, right? He came in with a puppet. And he was like, nah, doing this puppet thing. And, you know, it was fun. It's cute. God didn't make us puppets. That's not his pleasure. Some people think that's God's pleasure. God just wants to make us do things, right? God just wants to make us miserable. God don't want us to have any fun. I mean, that's a lost world thinks that way, right? You Christians, you're missing out on everything. That's not his pleasure. If that was his pleasure, he'd already be doing that. He'd already. If that was his pleasure, as soon as you walked out of line, zapped, right? But that's not his pleasure. Then what's his pleasure? For you to choose to have a relationship with him. He gave us a free choice to see his love and to respond to his love and then to spend forever with him. That's his pleasure. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He is the author and the finisher of our faith. So we see the esteeming in this verse. Let's get back to our text. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the founder of our faith. He is the finisher of our faith. But don't you see number two? You see his excitement. His excitement. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him. His excitement. Well, what's his excitement? I mean, we're supposed to look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. What joy? I mean, what is the prize that was set before the Lord? What was in his view when he was on the cross? What was this pleasant thing? This is what the verse says, that he who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Everybody look at me. What that meant when Jesus was on the cross in all his agony, something was on his mind. Something was on his mind that allowed him to endure all of this. Every time someone came up and smacked his face, every time someone came up and blindfolded him and mocked him and spat on him, something was on his mind that allowed him to endure this. Every time someone came up and took a reed and reached back like a baseball bat and hit him across the head, something was on his mind that allowed him to endure all this. When they put nails in his hands and his feet and the agony and every joint in his body was pulled out, something was on his mind that made him endure all of this. What was the joy set before him? It was us. Isn't that amazing? It was us. My dad sang many times when he was singing, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. You understand this. We are the reason why he came to this earth. We are the reason why he died on the cross. We are the reason he left the adoring of all the hosts of heaven to be spat upon as a man. We are the reason why he could sit there and be mocked and stripped down and scourged and beaten and mocked. All of these things because of us. He loved us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are the reason. When he was on that cross, you know what he was thinking about? Our faith. He was thinking about the fellowship that we would enjoy with him. He was thinking about the following and all those who would follow him. He was thinking about us. Isn't that a wonderful thing today? To know that his motivation, you know, motivation. I tried as teachers in the school. You understand this. December is the worst month in a teacher's life. I mean, it is the worst, because every kid is thinking one thing, Christmas, right? All right, time to sit down. No, right? Only 17 days, 6 hours and 32 minutes and 6 seconds until I'm free, right? Presents, that's what every kid's thinking. And it doesn't help, but everyone just gets them candy, and then there's cookies, and all the kids like, right? You know, it's just, they're just, when... And there was this motivation for every teacher. Friday. Finally, Friday came at 3 o'clock, and the kids got in their cars. And I was around, and all the teachers went, phew. And they went home. They probably slept for 12 hours, right? Oh, they had this motivation. The fact is, the Lord's motivation, why he went through the cross and endured everything. And understand this today. It was for you. You were his joy. You were his joy. What that means, let me catch this. He gladly did that for you. You see his excitement. Then you see, thirdly, his endurance. His endurance. It says there again in our text, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What did he endure for us? Ready? Catch this. I'll be quick. As the Bible says here, and I've preached on it all month, number one, he endured the cross. I've tried to preach on it every, and especially last week, and God's viewpoint of the cross, the agony and the suffering, those nails, the pain, and death. There was not at that time, and I'm not so sure there has ever been, a worse way to die than dying upon a cross. And everything that the Lord went through, he endured it. He suffered for us. He endured the cross. Number two, he endured their contempt. Notice the verse. It says he endured the cross, despising the shame. Despising the shame. They did their very best to humiliate Jesus. Pilate put a phrase above his head, "This is the King of the Jews," for whatever his motivation was, but people walked by and read it and laughed. They shook their heads. People walked up and they said, "All right, if you're really God, why don't you get yourself down from there?" "Oh, you can't." Yeah. They did their best to humiliate him as they took every piece of clothing off of him and left him hanging upon the cross in complete nakedness and shame. People walked up to him and basically said, "You're a liar. You said you could do this, and now you're not. You understand this. At just the thought, at just the whisper, Jesus could have took every one of them out. He could have removed himself and come down and every angel in heaven. But he didn't. He endured their cross. He endured the contempt. But I want you to catch this. The third thing he endured is in verse number 3. "Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." He endured the cross and their contempt, but he also endured contradictions. So what do you mean, the contradiction of sinners? Here's what I want you to catch, and I'll go on. He died on the cross knowing that some would hear all about it and not care. Knowing that some would said on December 23rd in 2018 and hear just how much he loves them and how he died for them. But they won't believe in him. You understand this, that when he was on the cross, he died for you. So I choose not to believe. Doesn't change the fact he still died for you. And he still wants you to be saved. Knowing all the times that I would say no to him. Knowing all the times that we would mock him. That we would reject him. Even though people were standing at the foot of the cross, even though his own disciples, some cursed, said, "I don't know him." But he still died for them. He endured. Understand, that was part of his suffering. He endured the cross. He endured the shame. Verse number 3, he endured the contradiction of sinners against himself, knowing that would be those who would say, "We don't care." Those who would turn against him. And again, this is our motivation, Christian, for going on and running our race. There may be people who don't care what you're doing too. There may be people who are against you, but that doesn't matter. You keep doing what's right. You keep going on. Our girls, I'm going to pause to tell you this. Our girls, we went and we played our bells, our teens did, and we played our handbells at different places. We played at a nursing home this week over in Reed Hartman. We were done a little bit early, and I had mentioned to the residents there that some of our girls sang in an ensemble. And they said, "Well, we want to hear him sing." And Miss Lauren Morgan has been working with them, and they sang their song to go on and not quit. Don't quit the fight, to keep on going. They sang it. They did a beautiful job. And they all clapped, and my sister, Crystal, was there. And she recorded it, and she posted it on Facebook. Didn't think anything about it. But if a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend sent a message Thursday night The message came to me. This lady said, she was a young lady. She said, I've been married for just about 6 years. I've got 2 kids. I grew up in church. My husband just left me for another lady. She said, I was done. She said, with Christmas coming and him not here, my kids heartbroken, she was thinking of taking her own life. She said, and then I heard those girls sing that song. And I saw their faces. And she said, I realized that God's not done with me and that I've got kids that I can raise for him. And she said, I just want to send a message to say thank you to those girls who helped save my life tonight. You never know. You never know. I'm thankful that God never gave up. And that he went to a cross knowing there'd be people who are against him. But you know what his mindset was? But catch this. That you are worth it. Number 4, you see his exalting. His esteeming, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. His excitement, who for the joy that was set before him. His enduring, endured the cross, despising the shame and the contradiction of sinners. But his exalting, verse 2, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Understand this today, that Jesus is not dead today. Amen. He did die for our cross, but he arose from the grave. And he is in a place right now that is in a highest form of honor than any place you could ever imagine. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He is there in a place of glory and honor that will never, ever change. Nothing goes on between heaven and earth that doesn't go by him. He is our intercessor. He is our mediator. He is our friend. He is our Savior. And someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. So this Christmas, look at him. Consider him. Because that's who he is.